Good morning. My name is John Waits, and I'm a curate here at St. Margaret's in Chipstead. And delighted that you can join us for the Book of Common Prayer, Holy Communion. We start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The prayer of preparation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The summary of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We now have the collect, followed by the readings. And after that we'll have the creed. For the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
The first reading is taken from Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 to 8 and 15 to 16. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord according to Luke, chapter 14, beginning at the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honoured in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
We say our creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now we have the sermon.
Luke chapter 14, verse 11. All those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The subject of our second reading this morning is the Christian virtue of humility. It's not just about seating plans at wedding feasts. It's about the way we think or act in a wide variety of social situations. It's about competition and ambition, about precedence and pride. It's about how we admire or despise one another. It's about motivation, self-belief. It's about much of human life. There is a pecking order amongst humans as well as amongst chickens. There are many different ways in which people get put into orders of rank, status, or esteem. It's very explicit, of course, in the hierarchies of rank in the armed forces and similar organisations. And there's also an official order of precedence for use on very formal occasions. And that's what tells us how to rank an archbishop, a royal grandchild, or a prime minister. What seats they should be given on royal occasions. And there are all sorts of less formal contexts in which people get identified as belonging to an A-list or excluded from it. In all these social activities, we may show the Christian virtue of humility or the contrary vice of pride. The virtue of humility is often misunderstood, so this seems a good occasion to reflect a little on what it really means. This is how humility is defined in a dictionary of the Church. Humility is part of the cardinal virtue of temperance in that it represses inordinate ambition and self-esteem without allowing us to fall into the opposite error of exaggerated or hypocritical self-abrogation. In other words, humility is about our attitude to ourselves. We have to strike a balance between too high and too low an opinion of our own character and abilities. We have to be realistic about what we can or cannot be or do. We have to be keen to change what needs changing, but also content to accept what must stay the same. It's important to realise what humility is not. It doesn't mean submission to injustice. It doesn't require us to belittle our own merits or achievements. It doesn't mean that we can't be ambitious, provided we're ambitious to serve others. It doesn't mean that we can't be competitive, provided that it enables us to contribute best to the well-being of others and to the common good. Humility is not self-abasement, but neither is it self-assertion. So it's important to get the balance right. The virtue of humility is well expressed by the shepherd boy in John Bunyan's story of Pilgrim's Progress. The pilgrims meet him in the Valley of Humiliation and hear him singing this song. He that is down need fear no fall, he that is low no pride, he that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide. I am content with what I have, little be it or much, and Lord, contentment still I crave, because thou savest such. The competitive society in which we live nowadays doesn't seem to understand humility or to value it. We don't encourage one another to be like the shepherd boy in Pilgrim's Progress. We expect people to set themselves targets which are high, perhaps often impossibly high. We especially applaud anyone who overcomes initial poverty or disadvantage to become rich or famous. We sometimes imagine that everyone could do that, that nothing is impossible to those who have sufficient confidence in themselves. It is indeed as though we thought that every child could be top of the class. But in such a competitive society, there will inevitably be losers as well as winners. They may be treated with blame rather than sympathy. Their condition may be seen as a sign of weakness, a lack of proper motivation. Perhaps we may even see it as a medical problem. If you go on the NHS website, you'll find the description of a condition called low self-esteem. And the recommended treatment prescribed does not involve anything like the Christian virtue of humility. On the contrary, those who suffer from low self-worth or self-belief are urged to raise the opinion they have of themselves and feel positive about what they can do. They're told to be kind to themselves, to learn to be assertive, and to start saying no. This may be good advice for some of those who suffer from low self-esteem, but for others, I think it might be misleading. And of course, the NHS doesn't offer advice to those whose self-esteem is not too low, but too high. To understand the Christian virtue of humility, we need to look not to the NHS, but to the Bible. We need to remember what Jesus said and also what he did. There's a story in Matthew chapter 20 about two of Jesus' disciples and their pushy mother. She comes to Jesus and asks a favour. When Jesus is king, could her boys James and John have the seats of highest status, one on his left and the other on his right? This earns her a rebuke from Jesus, who says, "You know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, anyone who wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Similarly, in Luke chapter 22, at the Last Supper, the disciples are arguing about who is the greatness. Perhaps they're competing as to who will get the best seats at table. Jesus tells them that the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Relationships within the Christian community should not be like the relationships in the world outside. We should gladly humble ourselves before one another and consider each other as no less worthy of praise than we are ourselves. If we seek to understand the meaning of Christian humility, we need also to look at the example set by Christ himself. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus tells his disciples to practice humility just as he did. He says he did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Luke chapter 22, he says that he is amongst his fellows as one who serves. And in John's Gospel, he shows what that means when he washes their feet, doing what was the work of a slave. In this, Jesus gives us an example of humility towards his friends and his disciples. But he also gives us, more importantly perhaps, an example of his humility before God. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul tells them to imitate the humility of Christ. He says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who being in very nature God, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." So the supreme example of Christian humility is the humility of Christ. In his whole life, death and resurrection, he expressed his humility to his Father in heaven. He had the right to the highest place at the banquet in heaven, the seat at the right hand of the Father. But he didn't take that place. He didn't become like one of the archangels or the heavenly powers. He became a mere mortal. And he didn't become the king of the Jews. He became a carpenter in the humble village of Nazareth. And so he accepted death, giving his life as a ransom for many. And it was a shameful death, death on a cross, condemned by those he came to save. In his self-sacrifice, we see what humility before God might mean. So, in reflecting on humility as a Christian virtue, we need to distinguish between humility towards one another and humility towards God. In our relations with one another, it may be forgivable if we have a tendency to boast. We may enjoy a little praise and admiration. We may exaggerate our strengths and forget to mention our weaknesses. We may not perhaps always be as humble as we should be. And it's good if we can overcome those faults, but they don't actually jeopardize our salvation in Christ. Humility before God is another matter. The example of Jesus' humility before his Father is crucial to our relationship with God. In our relationship with God, the greatest virtue is humility, and the deadliest sin is pride. We should never allow pride to break our contact with him. So let us pray. Loving God, you can see into our hearts. Forgive us what you see. Show us how to value one another and how to accept our own strengths and weaknesses. But most of all, teach us how to walk humbly with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother or sister have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Our intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal Church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and especially thy servant Elizabeth, our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend to him today. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins of wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who with great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and you respond, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We say together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. You might take a moment now to get some bread and some wine so that you can take this in a spiritual fashion. We know we can't take it physically together, but we can join together spiritually. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, with thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave him thanks, he brake it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it, in remembrance of me. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. Deborah, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy body by thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us who have duly received these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is also the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with thee and the Holy Ghost, be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. And we join together in worshipping God in the words of the Gloria. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, that of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love. Be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.